Perhaps you'd like to turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. This morning, as we pursue our development of a biblical worldview, we are going to consider that the earth is the focal point of the universe. Note that I did not say the center of the universe, though some take that position, the focal point of the universe. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us in our study this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for creating the earth and creating us and placing us here in this place. Thank you for giving us your word that explains these things to us. I ask you that in this moment, as we consider some of these big picture items of how you view things that you have created, that you will give us understanding and build our faith in the process. So I ask for your help, and I ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Astronomers at the University of Auckland in New Zealand claim that there are actually around 100 billion, with a B, habitable Earth-like planets in the Milky Way. The Milky Way is our galaxy. And there are roughly, according to their observation, estimation, I would more likely say, roughly 500 billion galaxies in the universe. So they have concluded that there is somewhere in the region of 5 with 21 zeros following it, that many habitable planets in the universe. As I was contemplating this, I was just wondering which one of them the little green men live. Forbes magazine, November 4, 2013, just a couple of months ago, said, quote, and I want you to listen to this short statement. While it may be too soon to say for sure that we're not alone in the universe, new analysis certainly seems to suggest that we are not, or at least our planet is not that special. Okay? Did you know there's a planet spotting spacecraft out there? We actually sent out a planet spotting spacecraft. And it's been sending information back to Earth. And back in November, the very beginning of November, there was a conference related to this planet-spotting spacecraft. And they reported the discovery of 833 new candidate planets. 10 are less than double the size of Earth and orbit in their star's habitable zone where liquid water could be possible. And on it tells about all these discoveries they're making. Then once again, listen very carefully to what they say. This is still from Forbes magazine, November 4, 2013. When you consider that the total number of stars in our Milky Way galaxy alone is believed to be in the hundreds of billions, that means there could be literally billions of other Earths in our galaxy neighborhood. A year's worth of data from the craft has yet to be analyzed and could yield even more evidence that we're not nearly as special as we think we are. What if we are not alone in the universe? What if UFOs are for real and alien creatures come to us from outer space? What if aliens really did come from outer space and help the Egyptians build the pyramids? Did you know that there is an organization called the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence Institute? Jill Tarter is using a growing array of radio telescopes to listen for patterns that may be a sign of intelligence elsewhere in the universe. She has devoted her entire career to the hunt, and her work has affected nearly every aspect of this field. Currently, she serves on the management board overseeing a massive new instrument that will eventually include 350 antennas, each 6 meters in diameter. This telescope will increase the speed and the spectral range of the hunt for signals from other distant technologies by orders of magnitude. The projects she has led are the most comprehensive ever taken, even though they have yet to produce results. Why do people on Earth want so desperately to prove that we are not alone in the universe? To do so would be to discredit God. And to discredit God would be to deny him his godness and release mankind once and for all from their accountability to a God who cannot get it right. But what does God say about the universe? The word heaven is used in the Bible as a description of the universe. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Actually, there's something very interesting about the form of that word heaven in the Hebrew language. In the Hebrew language, they do not just have singular and plural. In the English, if there's more than one, it's plural. So two could be plural. But in the Hebrew language, there is singular, dual, and plural. So that if you have one, it's singular. If you have two, it's dual. If you have plural, it's at least three. That's significant because in this verse, in the beginning, God, the name of God is plural, which means there's at least three. And in fact, there are three persons in the Godhead. But the word heaven is dual. God created the heaven. This exact same form of the word is used in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4, where it says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. The dual form suggests that there are two parts to the heavens that God created. In fact, this would then explain to us why the abode of God is referred to as the third heaven. Do you recall in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul said this, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one was caught up into the third heaven. Well, if there's a third heaven, there has to be a first and second, right? Well, consider Genesis chapter 1 and verse 8. Actually, we'll begin reading in verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And it is understood that what he's doing, remember that when in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In the original state of creation, the initial creating of the ball, that's the earth, the entire surface of the earth was covered with water. God then took some of those waters and raised them up into the sky and created a canopy of water around the earth. And between the surface of the earth, where those waters were, and the canopy of earth that's above, in between, he called that the firmament. But notice in verse 8, and God called the firmament what? Heaven. Isn't that interesting? God called the firmament heaven. Then, would you go over to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 19? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. Where he says, and lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them. He says, the realm where the sun, the moon, and the stars are is also called heaven. So the earth's atmosphere, which initially was the firmament between the waters and the waters, is heaven. And the realm of the stars and the moon and sun is heaven. Those are the two heavens that God created in the beginning, the dual form. The third heaven being that which was in the beginning with God, his abode. Now, we have the word earth. God created the heavens and the earth. And the word earth is given as the name for this planet on which God created life. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 12. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. Over in chapter 42 and verse 5, he says, thus saith the Lord, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. And in Jeremiah 27:5, he says, I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are upon the ground by my great power, by my outstretched arm. So he created the heavens, the earth's atmosphere, the realm of the sun, moon, and stars. He created the earth, the place where he created life in the universe. And these two are often spoken of together in Scripture. Now, I'm going to read down through a lot of verses of Scripture. Don't try to flip with me. I don't want to take the time to do all that flipping. Let me just read down through these verses. And I'm doing this with the intent of making the emphasis that when we read about the universe in the Scriptures, it's always the heavens and the earth. Heaven and earth, okay? Psalm 69, verse 34. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. Psalm 115, verse 15. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Psalms 121, verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalms 134, verse 3. The Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion. Psalm 146, verse 6. Which made heaven and earth. Isaiah 37, verse 16. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Jeremiah 23, verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33, verse 25. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth. Joel 3, 16. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. Habakkuk 3, verse 3. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. Do you get the sense of what we're dealing with here? There is a universe, and it is vast. And in that universe, God made one earth. The earth, in fact, is given a very special designation in Scripture. It is called the footstool of God. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven, the dual form, earth's atmosphere and realm of the stars, is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. God sits on his throne. He fills the vastness of all that he has created and uses the earth as his footstool. On the one hand, this shows the immensity of God's glory compared to the smallness of the earth. On the other hand, this shows the uniqueness of the earth in the universe. And because of its uniqueness, even though it might be described as the footstool of God, that is not to be a criticism of it as something simply under his feet, but in connection to the throne, because the earth is his footstool, it has a sacred designation. Would you go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 34? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. So we are not to swear by the heaven, for that's where God sits upon the throne in creation. We're not to swear by the earth either, because it has an equal sacred designation to the heaven. The earth is God's footstool, and it belongs to him. And we have no right to use it for a declaration of an oath. Then Scripture tells us that the earth is the place where God has his attention given in the universe. In a painting, there is always a focal point. Unless it's one of these modern art things that's just a bunch of splatter of paint, and then nobody can figure out where to put their eyes on paintings like that. It's just, you know, whatever. You know, if I wasn't a pastor, maybe I'd just splatter some paint on some canvas, and you can make a lot of money that way. I mean, it's art. But in most images that are presented, even in photographs, there's going to be a focal point. And in photography, you have to be careful that you don't have something come into the picture that you don't want there. I noticed recently, I think it was in one of the wedding pictures of one of our children, that the bride is standing on the platform, and there was a candle right in back, and the candle comes right up out of her head. You know? It looks like she has a candle right on top of her head. And that sort of becomes the focal point of the image. There's always a focal point. It doesn't have to be right in the center. It can be anywhere in the image, but it's the thing that draws your attention. Now, did anyone notice the globe that's in here this morning? How many of you have looked at it? More than once. It caught your attention. It's not in the center of the room, but it has become a focal point. The earth may not necessarily be in the center of the universe, although, who knows, it could be very close to the center of things. We don't know. How can we measure the universe and determine what's out there? But it is certainly the focal point as far as God is concerned. Psalm 33, would you go there, please? Psalm 33 and verse 13. Psalm 33 and verse 13. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. The eyes of the Lord running to and fro throughout all the earth. And Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10. Zechariah, next to the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 4 and verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. And Proverbs 5:21 says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all their going. Now, as the Lord has his eyes fixed upon the earth, there are three things in particular that he pays attention to. Would you go to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 11? Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 11. But the land, whither ye go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. The eyes of the Lord are always upon the land of Israel. I believe still, even though his people have forsaken him, it is the place in the earth where he has chosen to put his name as far as the nations are concerned. And the nation of Israel are the people of God, and his eyes are always upon their land. Psalm 34 and verse 15. The second thing that he pays close attention to is the righteous. Psalm 34 and verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The Lord is always paying attention to those who have received his message of salvation and received life through confession of their sin and the receiving of the Savior. All those who are born again and justified, these are the righteous. And the Lord is always paying attention to them. And his ears open to their cry. One of the things that I never cease to be amazed at and feel so unworthy about, but I'm so grateful for, is the fact that every time I turn my voice toward God and address him, I know he's listening. He's always paying attention to my life. He's always paying attention to your life. That's the focal point for him. Even in the context of the earth, that's the focal point for him. But there's another thing he pays attention to. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. He pays close attention to the land of Israel. He pays close attention to the righteous. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3 tells us that he pays close attention to the moral nature of men's activities. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The Bible is very clear that the earth is the Lord's. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. People in this world tell us that the earth is nothing special. They say it. I read it. They're not bashful about it. The earth is nothing special. It is only one of potentially billions of planets just like it, fully inhabitable all over the universe. But God tells us that the earth is a special place. Would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 26? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now I want you to fix your eyes on the page. And I want you to notice the word earth. And then look just before it. And what is that word? The earth. It's a definite article. And it is intended to declare to us that there is only one earth. The earth. Not this earth. The earth. The earth. One earth. If this room were all the vastness of the heavens, the atmosphere and the realm of the stars, of all of this room or the universe, in this room you see only one earth, one habitable planet, one place where there is life, one place where creation was focused, one place where God has made a land that is marvelous to his heart, one place where he has chosen a nation to be his special people, one place where he sent his son to die for created beings, one earth, the earth, is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So here it is. The people of this world tell us there are billions of planets that are habitable all over the universe. God tells us there's one earth upon which he created life. Now I ask you, who are you going to trust? That's what it boils down to. Either you take the word of finite men who cannot guarantee their puny observations are reliable, or you take the word of the infinite God who declares that he made a vast universe, and in that universe he made one earth and only one earth. If you take the word of finite men, you partner with those who seek to deny God his godness and seek to discredit him by proving him to be a liar. For if there are billions of planets just like Earth, there can't be just the Earth. But if you take the word of the infinite God, God will reward your faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What we believe about this has a tremendous bearing on our worldview. If we are potentially not alone in the universe, but there are possibly billions of other habitable planets, or even if we are the only living intelligent beings in the universe, and there are other habitable planets, that is to deny God his godness and to deny his plan of salvation to be true. All of these experiments that are being done through space programs are an effort to find life in other places or where man might escape to from the earth. God has made it very clear. He created life in one place, here on this earth. He has one plan for time and for eternity. And it's all focused upon this earth. When Satan fell from heaven, he fell to this earth. If there were other creatures in other places, certainly don't you think he'd want to incorporate all of them in his scheme? I think it's his ploy to create in man's imagination the possibility of all kinds of creatures in other places. To prepare them for potential demonic activity that would mimic creatures from other places. But God's plan is all focused upon the earth. For in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. His eyes are upon the earth and its inhabitants. The earth is his footstool. And the earth is where he carried out his plan of redemption. We must be careful not to be influenced by a world who seeks to discredit God, to buy into the imaginations of life in other places, of habitable planets in other places. But understand what God has said, accept his word as it is, and declare our faith and confidence in him, and have as a biblical world view. The earth is the place where everything is focused in what God created in the beginning, the heavens and the earth. And someday, in all the vastness of the universe, the eternal Son of God is going to come and reign on the earth, the one and only earth. May you believe what God has said and reject the imaginations of mankind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this truth. May you seal it in our thinking, in our thoughts, in our minds, in our hearts. And may we be willing, in a world who wants to do everything it possibly can to deny you your godness, stand for truth and proclaim it unashamedly, that this earth that belongs to you, by our testimony, might be filled with your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.